Speaking here and teaching. And so I'm going to be talking about what I believe is extremely important, even though, you know, most people don't run and dance and shout about this subject. I think this is one of the most critical things that believers need to understand is that we are to be bearing fruit. All right. Luke chapter 3, verse 9. Indeed, he says, the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. So every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. This is Jesus speaking. Verse 10 says, and the crowds were questioning him and saying, then what shall we do? All right. So Jesus just told them, the axe is already out. We're about to chop the tree down. And if you don't bear good fruit, he says, you're going to be cut down and thrown in the fire. Now that's a revelation of reverence. Okay, what God thrown in the fire, cut down, and naturally they're crying out. Then what are we going to do to get right with God? See, he's calling them ultimately to repent, and his response to me is shocking. He says this, verse 11, and he would answer, and he said to them, the man who has two tunics or coats, the man who has two coats is to share with him that has none. And he who has food is to do likewise. So Jesus is calling them to bear fruit. That's ultimately what he's talking about. He's not talking about, well, if you got two coats, you're in sin. You know, you haven't given away your extra coat. All right. That he's giving an example of a principle. What's the principle? It's simply this. We are to be bearing fruit. Particularly in this case, we could say the fruit of love. And that's what I'm going to focus on, the fruit of love. The greatest of these is love. So I'm focusing on love. And so the principle really is love. And the example he's giving us is if you have something extra, if there's actually the love of God in your heart, you will have compassion and see, this person doesn't have any clothes, and I got tons of clothes. I'm not just going to walk away and ignore that person, right? There's something that's going to change if your heart has been changed by God. And so he's calling on these people to repent and stop living a selfless life, a selfish life, and live a selfless life. You understand? We're to, in other words, be changed, repent. So when our hearts come to Jesus Christ, we say, God, we want your will to be done, like we were singing about, right? And so our lives are to now be like Jesus and to be a life of love. He is the ultimate life of love. He sacrificed. He saw us without clothes. We were the naked ones. We were the ones destitute and without food, and he provided. And so we need to see through the example, because, you know, a legalistic person would say, oh, you're in sin if you have two coats, right? No, we're not talking about legalism. We're not talking about Jesus is trying to make a bunch of laws, because there's really ultimately a million, millions and millions of ways that you can love other people. And so God, he didn't just give us a list of laws of this is all the ways you're supposed to, you got to give away this and that and this and that and that and that and do this and that. He doesn't give us laws. What did he give us? He gave us a new nature. He let us become born again. The Bible says in Romans 5:5 that we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts now by the Holy Ghost. We've been changed by the Holy Ghost. We've taken on a new nature. So the old nature is the nature of the sin nature and the selfish nature and the flesh, and would always say, I've got two and maybe I'm going to get 10 that way, just in case, you know, just in case I'm going to have more and more and more. And we hoard and we become greedy. We become selfish. We become fearful of what if I don't have enough? And so God is changing us and has changed us if you become born again. So what he's doing here is calling them to repentance. He's saying there's coming a day where you're going to have a new nature. He's going to die on the cross for these people, and of course he did for all of us. And so that provides a new nature for us so that we now can walk in this love that's been shed abroad in our heart. God is after fruit. We see the seriousness of it. He says, I mean, this fruit thing, this walking in love thing, it isn't an emotion. He says, if it ain't there, the axe is going to chop down the tree and be burned up. So the whole fruit thing is not a light subject. We are to be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we all understand, you know, doing good deeds, none of the deeds save us. We need to be very clear on that. Doing good stuff is not something that saves us, all right? We are saved, and because we're saved, we're going to do good works. And if you're not doing good works, that's evident that you haven't been saved, right? So the good works don't save us, but every one of us should be walking in the good works and doing the fruit of the Spirit. And so the central one, really all of them, is centralized, I could say, in this one word, is love. It actually is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits, plural, okay? So it's the fruit, and we could centralize all the fruit come out of this one, which is love. You know, in your Bible, probably Galatians 5, in fact, you can turn there. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and it starts with love. But Jesus said this, every tree is known by its fruit. Do people know that you're a Christian? Can people tell there's something different about you? And it's not just putting on a show. It's not just faking it, because, you know, the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they did all the right things on the outside. Everybody thought that they were godly and pious and holy, but they were dead on the inside. But we shall be known by our fruit. It's not just the outward works, but there has to be an inward change. And so that inward change, it's like a seed that God has planted in our heart. And so on day one, you don't see that seed. It's underground. And that's the same thing as God has made us born again. People might not see that seed, might not see what's actually going on. But over time, year after year after year, you're growing and maturing in this thing called fruit, called the love of God. At least we're supposed to be. We can hinder it. We can say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to walk in selfishness. I want to walk in the flesh and, of course, hinder the work of God. But we will all, you know, even Christians will stand before God. There's a bema seat. It just means a little raised pedestal where Jesus will actually judge his church. Not for sin. Sins were paid for on the cross. But whether we lived a life of fruitfulness, were we bearing fruit? Were we loving? Were we having joy and peace and goodness and kindness and patience and self-control? That's a big one. Were we doing these things? How do we do these things? Well, obviously, we can't do it on our own. John 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman, or the farmer, you could say. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. So again, this fruit thing is serious. And every branch that does bear fruit, he purges or prunes it. So if you're bearing fruit, he's going to help you bear more fruit. That's a good thing, that you may bring forth more fruit. The Father is after fruit. See, we make Christianity about this escaping hell thing. The Father is after fruit. Yeah, escaping hell's part of it. But once you've escaped hell, now what? Are you just coasting? Are we just sitting in church? Are we just going through the motions and the routine of showing up at church and thinking we're good people because we go to church? No, you should be changing your world. You should be changing your family. You should be changing your workplace. You should be changing your neighborhood. You should be changing every place that God placed you. Amen? We are to be bearing fruit everywhere we go. This is serious stuff. This is what God said we'll be getting rewards. And this is what the rewards are based off. Did you live a life of love? Loving God, you know, the great commandment, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor. That's our vertical relationship, is loving God. Horizontal is loving our neighbor. Love is so important. And when we fail to love, when we harm, particularly those in the body of Christ, or harm those around us, that's serious. God takes that serious. And that's the first thing I would repent of. If you've harmed somebody in the body of Christ, that's the first thing you want to repent of, because that is serious. So we do have to have this mentality, God, help me. Help me to walk this out. You know, naturally, we're selfish. That's our sin nature, our flesh nature anyway. Our sin nature is to be selfish and greedy and fearful. But we can suppress and put down that nature and say, no, I'm going to live the life of love. I'm going to live after the Spirit. So what does that look like? Well, let me just define what is the fruit of the Spirit, because of course we know Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which means patience, gentleness, which means kindness. Are you kind to people? Goodness, faith, which is talking about faithful. Are you faithful to God? Are you faithful to your spouse? Faithfulness, meekness, talks about your humility, temperance, which means self-control. Are you self-controlled? God's given you the power to do so by the Holy Ghost. He says, against such there is no law. So we know the fruit of the Spirit. And again, I'm focusing on the first one, which really all of them are part of love. But there's additional fruit. If you ever want to study the Bible, you can actually find other fruit. Just do a word search on the word fruit in the New Testament, and you'll see repentance is actually a fruit. When God has changed your heart, repentance is a fruit of a changed heart. Okay? There's also the good things that you do, righteous deeds. So repentance is Matthew 3:8, if you want to study it. Righteous deeds, Philippians 1:11. Truth is a fruit, Ephesians 5:9. And the things we say are fruit as well, Galatians 6:45. So we are to be producing good fruit. We're not going to stand before God and you know, judge. He's not going to judge, well, how nice a car did you have? And how nice a job did you have? And how nice a clothes did you have? And what promotion did you have? No, he's going to be judging the fruit. This is so important, church. Are we living a life of fruitfulness and love that demonstrates the change of God in our heart? We can always say the right thing. We can always use the right words. But are we actually living the things that we're saying? We're saying we're believers. We're saying we're Christians. We're saying I love you. But then do we walk away? Like James talked about that, or, you know, faith without works is dead, right? And you know, I know you need food, but I'll just pray for you. Well, if you have food, give them food. Oh, I know you need clothes, I'll pray for you. No, that's words. Words are nothing without action. So we are to be living a life of love. So the primary fruit of the Spirit is love, and we're focusing on that. So there's really two definitions that deal with our relationship with God and our relationship with man that I've learned as far as what love means. What is love? And this is out of John 14:15. It says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So what is loving God? This is our vertical relationship. What is loving God? Keeping his commandments. John 14:23. If you love me, you'll keep my words. That's another way of saying it. You'll keep his commandments. You'll keep his word. That's how we love God. It's not an emotion. Well, I emotionally feel connected to God. It has nothing to do with what you feel. It's a choice to say, you're God, and I'm going to obey you. Obedience. That's a demonstration of our love to God. It's not a feeling. Sometimes we feel like we're not as close to God as we used to be. That happens all the time. Completely normal, because it's not a feeling. Love is a choice. To say, I obey you, God. I'm going to obey you like we talked about. I want your will to be done in my life. So love is giving up your will for God's will. That's our vertical relationship that demonstrates what real biblical love is. Not my will, but your will be done. Giving up your will for God's will. And then the other definition of love is sacrifice. Jesus, you know, he says, no greater love has than there is no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. So sacrifice, in other words, giving. And Jesus is the ultimate demonstration of that. So there's our relationship with God, but our relationship with other people is going to be a relationship of giving, of sacrificing, of preferring you, of putting you first, of deferring to, well, what do you want to do? Right? It's a life of putting other people first. And so, one, our definition of love from the Bible is giving up our will for God's will. And number two, it is a life of sacrifice. So the opposite of love, by the way, is not necessarily hate. That's kind of a standard thing for the opposite of love in this world. Hate is the opposite of love. But according to the Bible's definitions, then, the opposite of love is really being self-willed and selfish. That's really what the opposite of love is I want my will to be done, and I'm going to be selfish, and I'm not going to give to you, even though I see you're in need. So we are to be people of love and do nothing out of selfish ambitions. This is so important. I desire to just live my life. How can I lay down my life for others? Not how many things can I gain and how much can I gather together for myself, but a life of selflessness. Selfish ambition is of the devil. And when we see it in our life, we have to immediately repent and say, no, I did that for the wrong reason. You can even do the right thing for the wrong reason. It looks good, and that person doesn't know why you did it, but you did it for the wrong reason. You know, last week I talked about, or last time I ministered, I talked about the five places we sin. We can sin with our deeds. We can sin with our words. We can sin with our thoughts. We can sin with our attitude. But the fifth one, and I think is the most devious one, and the most important one, is we can sin with our motivation. Why are we doing it? We can do the right thing for the wrong reason. Just like the Pharisees and Sadducees and all those guys, on the outward, they were technically doing the right thing. A lot of what they were teaching was even the right thing. They weren't necessarily wrong in their doctrine, and they were somewhat, but the problem was their heart, okay? The motivation, why they were doing it. And that's where we need, and that's where the fruit is. See, fruit is spiritual. It's not outward. We can't look at someone's actions and necessarily know that they're doing it for the right reason. You have to have some discernment by the Holy Ghost to know the reason people are doing things. But we're not to examine everybody else. I'm not talking about, you know, judging everybody else, which can be a problem in itself. Judge not that you be not judged. I'm talking about examining yourself. You understand? I'm not talking about this is how I'm going to judge my spouse. No, I'm not talking about that at all. That's not your job. That's between God. That's between them and the Holy Ghost. That's God's job to fix your spouse, not yours. So understand, I'm talking about how can we examine ourselves? Judge ourselves, that we be not judged, right? That's the Bible. Judge ourselves. Are we actually, from the heart, loving that other person? That person we might not even like. Jesus says something crazy. We are to love our enemies. And don't let that just blow past you. You mean love my enemy? That is a real changed heart. That is nothing of the flesh. That is nothing of the sin nature. Only a changed heart by God can love your enemy, can be slapped on the face and turn the other cheek. That's spiritual. And we don't have that in ourselves unless God has done a work. That is a spiritual work that God has done in our life. If you can turn the other cheek, literally. All right. So we are to do nothing out of selfish ambition. But again, love is loving God by keeping his word, obeying. And then loving is also sacrificing like Jesus did, lay down his life for us. I found interesting, I talked about earlier, we all have a ministry. You all have a ministry. You can look at 1 Corinthians 13. Paul talks about, this is the love chapter, Paul talks about a ministry based on love. If your ministry is not motivated and based on love, you have nothing. You are nothing. You're just going through the motions. You get no reward. God is not impressed. Even though you can do some of the greatest things there are in ministry. And that's what Paul talks about. I'll just read a little bit of 1 Corinthians 13. He says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels and have not love, which is charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, it's just an empty sound. I can preach all day long, but if I don't treat you right, like I can preach the greatest message from the pulpit there is, and if I get off the pulpit and just treat you like dirt, then my ministry is nothing. It's worthless. Get no reward from God, and then, of course, people are not going to respond, and so there's zero. But that's what Paul is talking about. There's love is what changes us. That if our motivation is love, our ministry is going to be powerful. See, Paul, there's three lists in our New Testament. And understand, I'm not just talking about, you know, pastor, full-time ministry people. I'm talking about you, okay? Some of you might be called to do that, but all of us have a ministry. But there are three lists in the New Testament where Paul talks about offices of ministry. You probably are familiar with Ephesians 4:11. Paul marks out there's the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. But a pattern I noticed is every time he talks about ministry, the very next thing he talks about, or one of the next things he talks about, is love. So after Ephesians 4:11, where it talks about the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, he follows it by verse 15. He says, but speaking the truth in love. Ministry without love is nothing. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, he gives a whole new list of ministry offices and things that we are to be doing as the body of Christ. He talks about first there's apostles, secondarily prophets, then there's teachers and miracles and gifts and healings and governments and tongues and so forth. But right after 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where that's found, is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is the love chapter. Ministry without love is nothing. Romans chapter 12, he gives us another list. He says, he talks about those that are in ministry. Let us wait on our ministry. I'm reading Romans 12, 7 and 8. He that teaches on teaching, exhorting on exhortation, and so forth and so on. And then he gets to verse 9. What does he talk about? Love. He says, let love be without dissimulation, which means fake. Don't let your love be fake. So every place Paul listed ministry, he followed it up with love. Love, a ministry without love is nothing. So that's what the whole beginning of chapter 13 is talking about, 1 Corinthians 13. I can speak with tongues. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. I'd rather hear you speak in love than to talk in tongues. I'd rather you treat your wife right than to hear you give a tongues and interpretation. Just keep your mouth shut if you're going to beat your wife and treat your wife evil or your husband. Just keep it shut, right? You're nothing. You're doing nothing. That's actually what it says. Verse 2, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. That's crazy. He says, I am nothing. Okay? Another translation adds on, I think it's the Amplified, I'm a useless nobody. Verse 13, and though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, this is where we started. Jesus talked about giving food, right? But this is the essence of it. We take the Bible as a whole. It isn't just about giving food, okay, to the poor. The essence of the whole thing is this. The central thing is love. Though I give all my goods to feed the poor and I can let my body be burned, he says. Though I give my body to be burned, in other words, as a martyr for your faith, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Nothing. That's shocking. I'm willing to die for my faith. I'm willing to die for you, God. But I lived a life of selfishness, self-ambition, a life of hoarding things for myself, not considering others, being rude to others. And that's what he gets into. Well, what does love look like? And that's the next verses. And my wife has from verse 4 down to verse 7. This is what she prays over us. And this is a good place to pray over yourself. This is what I want for myself, Lord. This is how I'm to live a life of love. And I pray this as well. God, help me to, verse 4, love, which suffers long, which means love is patient. Help me to love. Help me to be patient, God, to be kind. Are you kind? Would people say you're a kind person? Love envies not. You don't have envy and jealousy of other people that are succeeding around you. You want them to succeed. You want them to be lifted up. You want them to be blessed and do better. That's the nature of love. Charity vaunts or boasts not itself. It's not puffed up, boasting on your own achievements. It does not, and again, I'm saying this as a prayer, help me not to behave unseemly, which means help me not to be rude. Love seeks not its own. Help me not to seek my own will, but your will be done. Again, seeking God's will. That's how we love God. Obedience to God. That's how we love God. Seeks not its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. In other words, you're not living a life of judging and criticizing everybody around you. Thinks no evil. So our thought life, again, that's one place where we sin, right? Thinks no evil, but rejoices, and rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. This is a prayer I think we should pray regularly. God, help me to do that. Verses 4 through 7 can be converted to a prayer that you could pray for yourself, and I encourage you to do it. It's a great section of Scripture to think about. Am I doing these things? It can be very convicting. I haven't reached all that stuff, okay? But I'm working on it. Again, it's that seed that love has been planted in your heart, and it's maturing, it's growing, but you're not there yet. You haven't arrived yet, and we won't until Jesus comes back again, and he does it all, and he fixes it completely. But until then, there should be something. There should be an evidence of a life motivated by love. We love God, and so we obey him. We keep his word. And we love people, so we sacrifice and give our lives and give things and give whatever we can to help other people. This is the normal Christian life. This is the way we all should be living. And we can. The good news is, you know, we can do it. Again, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Spirit to help you grow, to help that seed get watered and grow and mature. We have the help. We have everything we need to be more like Jesus every day. We can do it. Hallelujah. We have all we need. We do have to know about it, and we do have to pursue it, but we can do it. And when we fall short, again, keeping that clear conscience, well, when I fall short, and I know I didn't do that out of love, I did that out of some type of selfish ambition, we repent. If we've wronged somebody, go back to that person and say, you know what, I shouldn't have said that. That was harmful. Even if you said the right thing and for the wrong reason, it's good to go make things right with people, okay? To love other people, and they will say, well, there's something different about you. I want to be more like you and less like me. And so that's what it's about. We're a light. We're a light on a hill. We're to be seen as something completely different than everything and everyone else in this world. Hallelujah. Y'all get that? Bear fruit. We must bear fruit. It's so very important as the body of Christ. So that is my final message on the most important things I want to impart to you as a pastor. Bear fruit, particularly the fruit of love. I could make a sermon about all those fruit, but the love is the important one. And I think you understand that. And so I hope you got that. How about we praise God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you. You've had mercy to love us, to die on the cross for our sins. You sacrificed your will to do the Father's will. Help us to do the same. And you sacrificed your life because you love us. Lay down your life because you love us. Help us, God, to do the same. To walk out 1 Corinthians 13, to love others, to put others first, never living out of selfish ambition. Hallelujah. We thank you for the Holy Ghost, which is helping us, maturing us. Help us to quickly respond to any areas that we have not walked in love. We thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Timely message. We are all called to bear fruit, no matter where we're at the office, at the gym, even in your own household. Bear fruit. Bear fruit. Amen. Well, once again, thank you guys for joining us for our Sunday service. If you haven't given, please go ahead and do so now. As you guys know, there are several ways to give, which you should see on the screen. Also, we still need some more food pantry items, so that should also be on the screen as well. And the last day to submit to get a food basket is December 22nd. So please go ahead and do so if you need a food basket or you know someone that needs one as well. And last but not least, on Christmas, of course, which is on a Wednesday, and on New Year, there will be no Bible class. So please don't come out on Wednesday unless you want to be out here by yourself. No Bible class on the 25th and the 1st. So if you don't mind, please rise and I will close us with a word of prayer and dismiss us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you because you didn't leave us as orphans, but you left us your spirit, Father. And this is the very spirit that works in us daily, Lord, to bear fruit. Father, help us to simply be obedient to your spirit. Help us to actually press into the word and find out what you have called us to do, Lord. And that is to be just like you and bear fruit in all that we do. Lord, help us not to lean on the fruit that we are good at, Father, but help us to actually look and say, Lord, is there any other fruit in my life that is lacking? Teach me, give me the grace and the mercy to actually bear fruit, Lord. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. You guys are dismissed. Have a great week.